You had mentioned earlier that Roswell was a great case, but it wasn't the best case out there.
Yeah, I personally don't think that what we're dealing with at Roswell is extraterrestrials.
Okay, what do you think are better UFO cases?
I think any case. Well, look, I think the turn of the century airship cases are really interesting because. You know, it's one thing to say it like at Roswell, and you've had Nick Redfern on the show
sure,
before.
Sure, absolutely.
And there is actual there is even in the Majestic documents there are documents that suggest and FOIA documents.
Yeah, but what would you? I've got to ask you this. You know, Lieutenant Walter Hout, before he died, had an affidavit that he signed. He's the officer who was sent out the original release that the Roswell. Army airfield had a fallen disc, a crashed disc. He signed an affidavit that said,
right.
I saw the aliens. I saw the debris. It was a ship.
I think that what crashed at Roswell was a Delta wing, a wingless aircraft. I think it was one of the Horton models. I mean, I have documents on my website.
Do you think it was something he didn't know about?
I don't think he knew about it. I think it was a need to know basis. I think it was experimental aircraft that grew out of paperclip. Again, you know, Nick Redfern and I, you know, tend to agree on this, and we're not the only ones, but I think it was a disc. I think it was probably something like Kenneth Arnold saw. And if you look at what Kenneth Arnold drew, the Delta wing craft, it's a dead ringer for the Horton model number 9 and the model number 10. That came out of Nazi Germany. I think that we just kept developing these kinds of craft. But back to what Hout said, Hout actually said, what his affidavit actually says is that he saw two bodies at a distance.
But they looked small with big heads.
Right, they looked small with big heads. And in the facade, I play with, this was 2001, here's what I, this is kind of an interesting sidebar for your listeners. The facade initially came out in 2001, and I was told by a friend who had a friend at Los Alamos, you know, one of those things, a friend of a friend of a friend. But I was told that what really happened at Roswell was paperclip technology, and the bodies were either Mongoloid children or victims of progeria. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I have this one scene in my book that I want to put that in, and I'll go back to that. Well, back forward to 2005, Nick Redfern comes out with a book where he's got all the government documentation that's exactly what was going on in these experimental aircraft programs. You know, taking, you know, little Japanese, you know, people, children.
Small people,
people with big heads, hairless. I mean, the whole thing. Now, if I was Walter Hout, And I think everything that Walter Hout said, I believe it. I believe that he believed it. I don't think he's lying at all.
I don't think
any of these Roswell people are lying.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
But here, if it was me, and here I come across like, whoa, you know, there's this disc thing, and I'm seeing this disc thing.
And these bodies.
I don't think we have one of those. I've never seen one before. And then all of a sudden I see two little bodies, you know, at whatever distance it was for a few seconds. And they got big heads, and then they cover them up.
Yeah.
Like, I think the same thing.
Right, and they didn't look human.
Right. I would, you know, they just didn't look normal, you know. If you look at some of the pictures that Redfern has in his book and that are available on the Internet, you know, of what he's talking about and what I had talked about, you know, a few years earlier, I would absolutely be led by my senses to conclude, boy, this really could be an extraterrestrial thing here.
Yeah.
But I think looking back on the case, there's a lot to suggest. I mean, there are actual documents, again, FOIA documents, that talk about a saucer with a large balloon attached to it that was recovered from Roswell. You know, the memos date, I have it on my website, like 3 days after the Roswell crash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Redfern describes, the Fugo balloon thing attached to an experimental saucer. It's exactly what he describes in his book. So, you know, to me, that's more suggestive of Roswell. But Roswell is not the UFO question. Roswell is not the extraterrestrial question. Those are entirely separate issues. And I think the airship thing back in the late 1800s, I think any report of a craft that sort of dissembles or explodes and then reassembles.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those are just dramatic cases that just don't fit into like an experimental aircraft.
What was the one where a minister, he was with some tribes people, was it New Guinea?
Yeah, that's like early 1900s if it's the one
the occupants were waving back at them.
Right. Right. Those kinds of things and Jacques Vallée, I'm an admirer of Jacques Vallée. But Vallée, like in his book Passport to Magonia and you know some of the other things he's written. And I'll grant that Vallée does not have a very positive view of the UFO.
Not anymore.
Thing. Right.
No, he's more dimensional.
Right. He also thinks he won't use words like spiritual or angel
no.
or demon. But they're interdimensional and they're also not up to any good. But you know, having said that, he has some really good examples in his book and even draws some out of the Eastern Church fathers of encounters with different beings and so on and so forth that you know look like they could come from UFO literature. I mean, that stuff to me, you know, I don't think Father so and so
Father Gill, wasn't it? It was Father Gill.
Yeah, yeah, the case you're thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any reason to doubt that these people are telling the truth.
These occupants, these ET occupants, Michael, seem to have been friendlier in those days. I mean, waving back or even being visibly, you know, seen up there.
Yeah.
Where now you don't see this anymore.
You know, and if I could put on my Jacques Vallée hat, he would suggest, and maybe the better word is argue, that since this phenomenon is dimensional, which sort of makes it intersect with our personal psychology, that as our attitudes toward these kinds of things changed, it sort of reflected in what was reported, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
You know, I tend to think that there's a lot to Vallée's work. Again, I will openly admit I'm an admirer of Vallée. And I think that he really has some things that the UFO community ought to go back and reread some of his stuff because his views are sort of almost forgotten, you know, by many. You know, people have heard the name, they've seen Close Encounters.
But if they're,
I haven't really read his stuff.
If they're dimensional, it still doesn't negate the fact that they are coming from other planets. Maybe they have developed the better way to, you know, transport themselves here.
Right. The dimensional thing kind of cancels out a clear-cut position on that because dimensional could mean, well, you know, they're using dimensional travel to come from a specific place or spot.
Right, a portal. You
know, right, in the universe somewhere. Or it could also mean that they exist on you know, what we would call the spiritual plane, and they're not really, you know, concrete life forms that have to reproduce and eat and drink and all that stuff. So it could go either way if you take that view. You know, and I tend to live in that middle turf. Because I think that's the most coherent. It's kind of hard for something to be coherent and not be conclusive, but that's sort of where I'm at. I think that is the best way to approach it until we get some sort of, you know, further evidence that moves you one, you know, slides you one direction down the spectrum or another.